paper, only to find a new public opinion poll with the same old results on the front page. Not to mention the sports pages that are packed with all kinds of tables, data, and stats. And don't get me started on the economy section. Setting the paper aside, I go online. The monthly newsletter that I subscribe to surprises me with a fantastic statistic. One in every 400 people alive today is a descendant of Genghis Khan, the Mongolian conqueror of Asia and Eastern Europe. Since I clearly prefer bicycles to horses, I am probably one of the remaining 399. Back home, as I watch the evening news, my TV screen is packed with statistically oriented data and phrases provided by anchors and reporters. More than once or twice each night, we get to hear reports on subjects such as the average salary in the U.S., the rise of building costs, rates of economic inequality in the U.K., or the proportion of female-to-male students in higher education in Israel. There is a female majority in both bachelor's and master's degree studies, and even in those studying for a PhD. They also use terms such as poverty index or cost of living index. How do they calculate those, I wonder? Tired of the news, I log on to my YouTube channel to read some reactions to a clip I posted the night before. There, I see it had 1,003 views, and I can segment these viewers by country of origin, age group, or the platform they use to access YouTube. It even shows me how that video rates compared to the last 10 clips I uploaded, and so on. Numbers, data, statistical thinking, and probabilities are virtually everywhere in our modern world and fundamental to our lives, whether we are aware of it or not. Statistics are everywhere. In early 2020, when the COVID-19 pandemic first started, the public became aware not only of how the disease was spreading globally, but also of numerous statistical terms such as infection coefficient, false positive, and false negative. We may have heard about the difference between linear and logarithmic scales, see Chapter 13. We certainly heard all about the percentages of vaccinated, unvaccinated, and hospitalized people, the average age of people who died from the disease, compared with the general longevity of the overall population, and the pace at which the pandemic was spreading locally and worldwide. We were fed the number of fatalities per million people, the rate of bed occupancy in COVID wings, and the number of people terrified they might get sick. We considered herd immunity and reflected upon the correlation, another statistics buzzword that we'll discuss later, between socioeconomic status and the chances of contracting the virus. In short, all those analyses could be squeezed into a decent Statistics 101 academic course, coupled with a brief workshop in probability. Statistics like these are also very important to every worthy government. Using them, governments can make calculated decisions about public health, security, transportation, the environment, crime, care of elderly people, education, and many other important issues. Statistical models play a crucial role in almost every prediction, including those about earthquakes, insurance rates, political shifts, and so forth. Statistics help when managing crises and planning ahead for natural disasters or collateral war damage. Clinicians use statistics to examine patients' reactions to various treatments. Medical experts use them to draw conclusions from gathered data and to make educated, data-based decisions. Statistics show whether a given drug helps with curing a given disease and provide guidance, for example, whether doctors should recommend that men with prostate cancer undergo radical prostatectomy or just carefully monitor their status. Familiarization with the terminology and ideas of statistics and probability could prevent numerous mistakes and biases in medical research. Dangerous statistics. I once discussed the use of statistics in medicine.